Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back, everybody. This indeed is the Good Shepherd on the Infinity Sports Network. Great to be with you, however, and wherever you may be listening from. You could be in your car. You could be in your truck. You could be at work, like Ryan Botcher and I. You could be checking us out on SiriusXM Channel 375. You can be getting us on your local affiliate. However you choose to consume our show, it is a privilege to be with you every single day on the Infinity Sports Network. And not only can you listen to us, you can watch us for free on the YouTube Infinity Sports Network page. So make sure you hit us up on the chat. Say hi, get your opinions heard. We got quite the cast of characters on that chat, as you would suspect. And so we have certainly spent a good amount of time in this show discussing the shocking departure and retirement of Bruce Pearl. We have certainly spoken in great detail about the really unfortunate news about the torn ACL of Nick Bosa of the San Francisco 49ers being ruled out for the season. And we saw something comparable to this in 2020. And it's just a devastating blow for a 49ers team that had an incredible 3-0 start, considering Brock Purdy was only available for one of those games, and Mac Jones, who for so many people was an afterthought, they were able to win two straight with Mac Jones of all people. So this is devastating news. They already have 8 new defensive starters this year alone, and the tough task of having to replace, you know, Nick Bosa is going to be nearly impossible. And it, you know, Trent Williams, who's one of the great offensive linemen in the league, you know, he can say all he wants, and I can appreciate the silver lining and where he's coming from. I know he's very close with Nick about how it's going to have to be an all hands on deck approach. There is no approach to replacing Nick Bosa and what he can do out there. 2022 Defensive Player of the Year, someone that this season you already felt his impact: 2 sacks, 8 pressures, 15 tackles. This is a devastating blow for the 49ers, and we wish him a very healthy and speedy recovery and hope he is in full form in 2026. We've certainly spoken in great detail about the Kansas City Chiefs and their bounce back. We've given some love and praise to Caleb Williams and his ascension and ultimately him becoming a franchise quarterback. We do have an incredible Monday night football game ahead of us, and this is what is going to happen, in my opinion, of course. On Monday night football, Lamar Jackson is going to remind people why Josh Allen is not the front runner for the MVP this year. Lamar Jackson has been brilliant so far in 2025. It's not his fault that the Ravens decided to give up 22 fourth quarter points to the Buffalo Bills in week one. It's not Lamar Jackson's fault that Derrick Henry, of all people, has a costly fumble when he hadn't fumbled more than once in a year, and that gave the ball back to Buffalo and allowed them to ultimately keep that game alive. Everyone knows Baltimore should have won in week one. So how do they respond? Well, they beat the living tar out of the Cleveland Browns. They annihilate them. They decimate them. And as we saw, they didn't make the same mistake again. They only allowed 1 fourth quarter touchdown as opposed to 3. And so you look at the assets that the Ravens have in place. Derrick Henry is one of the 2 best backs we have in today's game. Lamar Jackson is one of the 2 best quarterbacks that we have in today's game. And they also have a legitimate 1A wide receiver in Zay Flowers, not to mention a completely rejuvenated DeAndre Hopkins, who has clearly found the fountain of youth. And then imagine what this Ravens team is going to look like if Mark Andrews can get over those costly mistakes in the divisional round versus the Buffalo Bills and go back and revert to being the old Mark Andrews. I really respect Detroit. You got to love any coach team when it comes to Dan Campbell, but they lose their offensive coordinator in Ben Johnson. They lose their defensive coordinator in Aaron Glenn. And while Jared Goff was brilliant in week number two against the Chicago Bears with 5 touchdowns to just 5 incompletions, playing the Bears defense is a little different than playing the Ravens defense. And what the Lions are going to find out is there's really not a more explosive offense in the sport right now than the Ravens, who put up 40-plus in their first 2 games this season. Do not expect that trend to go away anytime soon when they face off against the Detroit Lions. And so while I believe this is going to be a competitive game, when it's all said and done, Detroit don't have enough to keep up with Baltimore. They just don't have the personnel. They don't have the talent. And it's why Baltimore is going to be 2-1 after Monday Night Football when it concludes in about 3 hours from now. And also, Lamar Jackson is going to put a stamp on why it should be him as the prohibitive favorite for MVP after week number 3, very well knowing that he did everything he could just to put up 40 points on the Buffalo Bills and put them in a position where they should have won that game in the first place. But these are two very well-coached organizations, two very well-run franchises, but Baltimore is going to come out on top on Monday night. Now, speaking of primetime games, I want to hit on this very quickly. I don't know how many people are paying attention to the Arizona Cardinals, but they're going to be hosting the Seattle Seahawks on Thursday Night Football. And I find myself wondering, I don't know where everyone else is with this. How is Kyler Murray still a starting quarterback in the NFL? Can someone explain that to me? Kyler Murray is a number one overall pick. Number one overall pick. He is 8 games under 500 in his career. He has never had a season in which he has won 10 games. Not once. He has never won a playoff game. You know who has won a playoff game? Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones was so bad for the New York Giants, he went 3-13 in his final 2 seasons there, and they couldn't get rid of him fast enough. They got rid of him before he was even halfway through his next contract. That's how bad he was. Now, credit Daniel Jones. Incredible bounce back with the Colts. 3-0. I'll give him credit. But I'll tell you who's even worse than Daniel Jones, who's won a postseason game, Brock Osweiler. You know what Brock Osweiler's doing in the NFL right now? No, you don't, because I don't either. I do know he's not in the NFL and hasn't been for quite some time. But that dude has won a playoff game. Excuse me as I cough. I got choked up speaking about Brock Osweiler because the truth of the matter is, how does that dude win a playoff game and Kyler Murray is a number one overall pick can't in year 7? And you know what? Last time I checked, Baker Mayfield, a fellow number one overall pick, he won a playoff game. The next year, Cleveland gave him the boot. So why does Kyler Murray get such a long leash? Why does he have so much life in Arizona? What am I missing? I know what I'm not missing. Kyler Murray's salary, which, by the way, happens to involve incentives when it comes to work ethic and study habits. That's not a good sign either. And the last thing I'll say about Kyler Murray, who I still don't understand for the life of me how in year 7 he is still able to exist in Arizona as their starting quarterback without a single playoff win, 8 games under 500, is this dude is somehow more paid than Patrick Mahomes. That's right. He's got a higher salary in 2025 annually than Patrick Mahomes does. We're talking about the best quarterback of his generation versus someone that has never at any point even been the best quarterback in his own division. There are questions, and then there are never-ending riddles. And Kyler Murray being a starting quarterback for the same organization for 7 years as a number one overall pick is a never-ending riddle as to why that dude is still in the NFL as a starting quarterback, let alone for the same franchise. If he would have played in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, any other market, he would have been on his tuchus somewhere else after year 4. But for some reason, Arizona believes he's the guy. Well, I'll tell you something. Whatever I do in my life, I hope anyone I interact with has half the amount of patience and tolerance that Arizona has in relation to Kyler Murray. Now, getting back to Monday Night Football, just wanted to make that point clear. If anyone can answer that question for me, I would be fascinated. Bacha, can you answer that question for me?
Because he is at his best, maybe slightly above average, and that's better than having a potential bust. So you could argue the same thing with Trevor Lawrence, too.
Here's the difference, Botcher. Trevor Lawrence, I have seen go on a tear at the end of a season, winning 6 of 7 games, winning in the postseason. Now, we know he was awful and putrid against the Chargers in that postseason game in the first half, but he also was heroic and off the charts great in the second half. Name me one half you have seen from Kyler Murray where he looked like the way Trevor Lawrence looked in his second year versus the Chargers in that wild card round matchup.
The only thing you could say is that the game-winning Hail Mary, DeAndre Hopkins, that's the only thing you could even mention, how he escaped the pressure and threw a Hail Mary. But either way, I don't think the Cardinals were in a spot where they're like, okay, we're not bad enough to where we can draft a high quarterback, and we're not good enough to make the playoffs. So I think they're just okay with being, I don't know, in the middle. Maybe they can squeeze the most out of Kyler Murray. And they thought that with Marvin Harrison, who you thought
that's
was a bona fide receiver.
I'm always one of those people, Botcher, when I make a point or I present a set of facts or a position, I'm always thinking to myself, is there another angle I could have taken? Is there another point of emphasis I could have really, you know, honed in on? And I'm thinking to myself, as we're talking, I'm like, I know I'm missing something. And yeah, the best overall player in college football in 2023, they drafted. So you can't make the position or argument that Kyler Murray doesn't have the weapons. I hear what you're saying about mediocre. But if you're going to be mediocre, you can't own an NFL team. You can't run an NFL franchise. Was this not the same team that was a touchdown throw away from winning a Super Bowl 16 years ago against the Steelers?
It's true. It's just, I don't know. Maybe they don't want to fall. Well, they're already not popular, of course, but they don't want to fall even more off the face of the earth, the NFL landscape.
Yeah, but look, I mean, let me ask you a question right now. Who are you taking, Baker or Kyler, right now?
Oh, Baker, 100%.
Okay, was Baker not available 3 different times?
Yeah, but at that point, they were committed, you could say, Kyler, because he got the 3 years and they got the extension.
Sure.
And you're not going to just rid a guy who they just signed an extension. His cap hit's going to be insane.
When that contract was signed, Baker was released by the Browns before they signed Kyler.
Yeah, but either way, you still trust the younger guy where Baker left the Browns on a bad note. And then, of course, his time with Carolina was a nothing. So there was a lot of bad press about Baker, and I don't think the Cardinals, who drafted this guy in Kyler Murray, number one, maybe they blamed it on other factors with the coaching.
Yeah, but look at what happened with Anthony Richardson, right? Like, I don't love how they handled Anthony Richardson. I thought he got a raw deal being drafted 4th overall, if I'm being honest. Like, he didn't do anything nearly enough in college that showcased why he could be a franchise quarterback. The guy had a losing record in college, so he was put in an unfair position. Trey Lance, top 3 pick, right? Didn't even get a second year. At some point, you have to say, it doesn't matter how high we draft you, this is not in the best interest of our franchise. Botcher, they will never, and I want to absolutely capitalize, embolden, emphasize, italicize, ever. They will never, ever win a Super Bowl with Kyler Murray. You know that. I know that. Everyone watching on the YouTube chat knows that. So are you in this racket to be average? Because if you want to be average, this is the ultimate definition of average, Kyler Murray. He's an average quarterback. I'll give you that. Can he be serviceable in relief duty of a franchise quarterback? Sure. Does he belong in the NFL? Absolutely. But he's not going to make a franchise. He's not going to be the difference maker. He's not going to be the engine that propels, you know, a locomotive to the next step. He can't do that. We've seen 7 years of this. And maybe it's just a situation where it is like a Sam Darnold or a Geno Smith, and they're not made for where they're supposed to be drafted originally. They're not supposed to succeed there. They got to go elsewhere. Maybe there needs to be a necessary change of scenery. But it's not working. At what point do you pull the plug? And I don't understand for the life of me how this isn't a conversation. If this was a different franchise in a different market, we'd be talking about this every day.
I think it's more prominent now because they're 2-1. It's just, I think this is the final year of him being a true guaranteed starter with the Cardinals. If he, it's do or die, and you could say that with a lot of quarterbacks, but the Cardinals themselves need to find a plan. And we understand Trey McBride, probably arguably a top three tight end, top four tight end in the league. You have Marvin Harrison Jr. We know he's been average at best.
Yeah, I agree.
And we don't
who's throwing to him, right? Because I tell you this much, he wasn't average when he was playing with CJ Stroud.
Yeah, but he's also, he had a big drop last week. It's just, I don't know if he's in his head, what maybe his chemistry's off with Kyler, so yeah. That's not there. But they've put people around Kyler Murray. James Conner, of course, we know is out now for the year, but they've put enough for Kyler where he can succeed. I think this year was going to be his final test. If you can develop and get yourself to a playoff spot, you know, the NFC West was a lot of question marks, the Seahawks, the Rams, you know, Stafford's injuries. I think this is their last hurrah with Kyler. If not, I don't know if they take the cut and they take the cap hit, but they're going to look for a new quarterback if they don't do anything this year.
You're going to have to. And it's funny you mentioned Matthew Stafford, because that's another example that people cite when it comes to number one overall picks having a long shelf life. And, you know, Stafford, obviously, we know the famous stat, or the, I should say the infamous stat with him at Detroit was he was 0-4 when it came to postseason success. But we also saw Matthew Stafford in his early 20s throw for over 5,000 yards. You knew it wasn't on him why they continued in their woeful ways. Number to join us, 888-710-4ISN. That is 888-710-4476. Paul in Rhode Island, I appreciate the patience, buddy. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, thank you, Shep. You know, you're wonderful, as always. And I appreciate your patience for me. You know, I'm off topic sometimes, but listen, I'm going to go with three teams. Jacksonville, division championships, winning the championship.
Yeah, you believe they're going to be division champs in the AFC South?
Yeah, the okay. Rams. And I have to go Lamar Jackson. I have to go.
Okay.
But you know something? The way it's trending right now, I feel like everybody has got their coins down, their cards in first three games. We've been around football for a long time.
We have, and, Paul.
And these guys want to throw these young quarterbacks in. We got 6 out of 5 quarterbacks in the second year in already down. You can't, you know, you just can't. The defensive team, offensive line, when you get, like, let's say New England, 25 guys in, you just can't just break through just like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the coach. It's not the GM.
I'll tell you this about when it comes to the Pats,
my
Paul,
God.
You didn't give Gerard Mayo nearly enough of a runway. To me, you know, we hyped up Mike Vrabel so much, and they are looking the exact same way they looked when they fired Gerard Mayo. And
Gerard Mayo
never had the benefit of coaching for 4 years at a previous NFL stop as a head coach.
What?
Mike Vrabel
exactly.
has.
Exactly.
So New England is reaping what they sow. They want to throw someone out on their butt that they never even gave more than a season to. When they made him go through the mud just to have to be an assistant for Bill Belichick, only for them to show him the door a year later.
Perfect words you just said.
Well,
I
appreciate that.
But you know what? You just can't throw 25 guys in there and come through like a can in sardines or sardines in a can.
No, that's a heck of an expression too, buddy. I might have to use that at some point.
Look what happened this weekend.
Yeah.
The Bears beat the – I mean, how does the Bears do that?
Because they opened up the offense. They were creative with their play calls. They took advantage of the arm strength and the power and the athleticism of Caleb Williams. And once they got 14 points in less than 4 minutes, you knew the Cowboys had not
exactly.
the offense and the
and
defense
how,
to keep up with the Bears.
How does these home games be a losing streak when a person pay $60 for gas, $60 to park, $60 for hot dogs and beer.
I know.
Imagine, you're not supposed to lose the home game.
I agree. And moral
the
of the story,
bitch is,
more,
that's
more,
the bitch.
And moral of the story, Paul, life, it just keeps hitting you harder because of cost of living. And that's not going to go away anytime soon. Paul, we appreciate you on the Infinity Sports Network, and thank you for calling us, man. And I can hear the passion in your
Paul,
voice.
You're going to get 20,000 fans instead of 40 and 60.
Paul, that was my way
I'm
of saying
sorry to bother
that was my.
I'm you're
never bothering me, but that was my way of saying thank you for calling, and you have a nice
night.
No,
I thank you because you are encyclopedia of this ship and the and the ship I used to work when I used to work at Bally's. I used to work in third ship.
Well, look at you doing a little bit of everything. Well, Paul,
you are perfect.
I don't know about that, buddy. But Paul,
you are perspective. You are perfect.
Thank you, buddy.
And I'm gonna tell you another thing.
Yes.
You respect the callers
always,
and I love you for that.
Well,
thank you very much, Shep.
It's my pleasure, Paul, and thank you, buddy. And the truth is, anyone knows this that has worked with me for a long time. I love our listeners. I love our fans. I love the people that interact with us. Because they are truly the heart and soul of what we do. And we don't have those people, Paul, such as yourself. We don't have a product. We don't have a station. That's just the truth of the matter. Number to join us, 888-710-4ISN. That is 888-710-4476. Monday Night Football is underway. We will give you the latest on the other side in terms of the score, whether or not the Lions can get on the board. We will certainly talk in great detail in this hour about baseball headlines, and there were plenty over the weekend, and one of those is someone we unfortunately have to say goodbye to. We'll get to that this hour. We'll give you the latest on this Monday Night Football game on the other side. We'll also take your calls on our busy phone lines. This is the Good Shepherd filling in for the great JR Sport Brief right here on the Infinity Sports Network. We're coming right back. Hi, YouTube chat.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief. Here's David Shepherd.
Hey, that's me. Welcome in, everybody. This is David Shepherd in for the great JR Sport Brief right here on the Infinity Sports Network. The number to join us for usual 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Now, in terms of Monday Night Football, we do have ourselves a touchdown. And that, of course, comes courtesy of Jahmyr Gibbs. We know the running game that the Lions have between Gibbs and Montgomery. And ultimately, both are lethal around the goal line. And Jahmyr Gibbs being no exception with the one-yard touchdown run, making it 7-0 early against Baltimore in Baltimore. We will certainly keep you posted and afloat on the scoring that goes on between these two really proud franchises, considering what they were able to do last year. Lions having an NFL best 15 wins in the NFC, you know, the most they've ever accomplished as a franchise. And then with the Ravens, you know, continuously knocking on the doorstep of getting to their first Super Bowl in 13 years. Again, number to join us, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. When we get back on the other side, we'll hit on, literally and figuratively, baseball headlines that have taken place over the last 48 hours. There's a lot of them. Let's get to the phone lines, though. We got a lot of people waiting to talk NFL. We got Richard in the ATL, also known as Atlanta. Richard, how you doing this evening, man? What you got for
My
us, sir?
My brother from another mother. It's great to hear your voice.
Thanks, Richard. I appreciate you, man. And likewise, buddy. How you doing? You doing good?
Yeah, I mean, had a birthday on the 10th, turned 69. Our aunt passed away, but I'm okay.
Yeah,
but
well,
other than that, I'm good.
Good, man. Well, listen, man, obviously, you know, where I come from, and I have a feeling you share the same sentiment. She's in a better place, and she's always going to be with you, brother. And
yeah,
59 years young, that's pretty impressive, man. Happy birthday, Richard.
Thank you. But like I said, though, hey, it's good the Chiefs finally get one. What can I say?
Yes, I hear you.
I always figured that, you know, every time we play the second game between my home team and them, we already got to go to Kansas City.
I hear that. If I'm the Falcons right now,
I'm not the Falcons, bro. I like my Eagles, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, that's well, the Eagles have a lot to be happy about, because that comeback on the Rams was incredible. I think Jordan Davis is still running, by the way.
Oh, yeah. And I loved with the Bears put it on the Cowboys. I am not a Cowboys fan.
I don't think anyone's a Cowboys fan outside of Dallas at this point. The way that organization has been run for the past 30 years with Jerry Jones' ego getting in the way of everything they're supposed to be doing, it is impossible to root for them unless you are a lifelong Cowboys fan or someone that happens to reside in the city of Dallas.
Well, mine always have to deal with the back in the 60s when the Eagles played the Cowboys and Hal Carmichael got clotheslined right after catching a touchdown in the end zone.
Right.
That's when the hatred really began.
No, I hear that, man. I hear that loud and clear. But Richard, man, it's good going back and forth with you on the NFL. Is there anything else you wanted to add, or was that basically the gist of everything?
That's basically the gist, but like I said, I'm just happy to hear your voice, man. Last week I heard you on Bart Winkler when we were doing for him
on the
way home.
Thanks,
and, you know,
Richard.
Every time I hear your voice, I'm going like, that's my brother.
Thanks, Richard. Feeling is mutual, man. And, you know, thoughts and prayers to your family right now with your aunt, you know, moving on. And happy birthday, man. Seriously. And enjoy Monday Night Football, because I have a hunch, I have a feeling, as I watch Lamar Jackson do the mambo out there, that's how well he's moving. This is going to be
an luxury because I'm at work.
Okay, I got you. Well, Richard, you got myself, you got Rich Ackerman, you got Marco Belletti, you got Bart Winkler. We are going to do our very best on the Infinity Sports Network, and I hope you're getting us on the Odyssey app. If you're not getting okay, good. So we're going to do our best to make sure we keep you and everyone else around the country afloat with everything that takes place in this game without giving you verbatim and play-by-play. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Good, Richard.
Like I said, good, bro, man. I love you, man.
Thanks, Richard. Like I said, man, love you too, and have a great rest of your evening. Ack, before we get to your sports flash, you have a hunch as to who's coming out on top between the Ravens and the Lions?
Well, I'm going to go with the home team. I go with the Ravens. They're very good on Monday Night Football. They're down 7-0 right now,
right,
but I'm still taking the Ravens tonight.
Monday
Night Football and at home.
Oh, yeah. And to me, this is going to be an offensive slugfest.
I agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, Baltimore.
We're only getting started.
Absolutely. Scoring 40-plus points in every single game so far this season. I do not see Week 3 being an exception. And obviously, we're coming off of a Lions team that for just the third time this century scored at least 52 points. When we get back, Ack, you're going to be so proud of me. I'm only going to be 2 minutes late in terms of tossing
you're
to the sports
better.
Flash. You got to get better in life or you're getting worse. You're never staying stagnant, Ack. There you go. When we get back from Ack's update and the commercials, we are going to get to your calls on everything football, everything baseball. And so we look forward to discussing and talking everything baseball. And another touchdown is scored, but I'm not going to step on Ack's toes here. He's going to tell you the latest. Oh, looks like a penalty. We'll get you the latest on that. But there's a lot of baseball headlines that have happened in the last 48 hours. No exception being Clayton Kershaw deciding to retire. But he had a statement in his last home start at Dodger Stadium in the regular season. We'll give you the latest on that. We'll certainly give you the details on Monday Night Football. Before we do anything else, let's throw to our latest sports flash. Here's Rich Ackerman.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief. Here's David Shepherd.
Welcome back, everybody. This indeed is David Shepherd, a.k.a. the Good Shepherd, in for the JR Sport Brief right here on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to get back to calls momentarily. Back in spring training, we didn't know if Clayton Kershaw was going to even be available late in September. Because we saw the health problems in terms of his body being able to hold up in 2024, and he couldn't even make the postseason roster. And so when he said he was coming back in 2025, a lot of people felt like, you know, is this the swan song? We just hope he can, you know, last an entire season. Well, he's lasted plenty. He has been lights out this year. 10-2 with an ERA of 3.5 and has not registered a single loss since the month of July. And all of a sudden, we're not only saying, yeah, it was a good decision to come back, but we actually want him to come back for more after 2025. Well, unfortunately, that's not going to be the case. Clayton Kershaw, after an 18-year career, is calling it quits at the conclusion of the 2025 postseason. And what a career it has been. And in his his final regular season start, at least at Dodger Stadium, he did enough to keep Los Angeles in it with 6 strikeouts, 4.1 innings pitched. And now the Dodgers are winners of 7 of his last 8 starts. And, you know, Clayton Kershaw, he wanted to make sure that this was not about his personal accolades, but about showing gratitude and his thanks for his teammates, for the organization, and for the fans.
I think the only thing I can say right now is just thank you guys so much. Thank you for 18 years. It hasn't always been a smooth ride, but you guys have stuck with me. Thank y'all so much. We got another month to go.
You know, without question, Clayton Kershaw, one of the 2 best pitchers of this century. I have Max Scherzer at number 3. I got Kershaw at number 2. I got Justin Verlander at number 1. But that doesn't totally depict and paint the picture of Clayton Kershaw's career. It's not just about the 3 Cy Young Awards. It's not about the 2014 National League MVP. Shout out Gilberto in Arizona for that, in San Diego, I should say. It's not just about Clayton Kershaw's, you know, 3,000 career strikeouts, one of 4 lefties in MLB history to ever accomplish that. Him, CC Sabathia, Steve Carlton, and of course, Randy Johnson. It's what he means to the sport in terms of how he represents himself on and off the field. And when you're winning the Roberto Clemente Award at 24 years old, I can't think of a greater honor in the sport. And that's the most distinctive honor there is in terms of the person you are in representing the sport of baseball. He's got the ultimate winning ways, but he's got such high integrity and character. And he's the ultimate family man. He's an incredible man of faith. He's a Dodger for life. And look, when you talk about the most successful baseball franchises of all time, the Yankees and their 27 World Series titles, they certainly are the first that you think of. The St. Louis Cardinals, they have the 2nd most World Series. But in terms of overall success, star power, pennants won, World Series appearances, the Dodgers are 2nd only behind the Yankees. And if I'm coming up with a Mount Rushmore of the Los Angeles Dodgers, I'm putting Vin Scully on that mountain. I'm putting Jackie Robinson there. I'm putting somebody, you know, like a Sandy Koufax. I think Clayton Kershaw's 4th. I know there's Fernando Valenzuela, Tommy Lasorda, Oral Hershiser, Roy Campanella, Duke Snyder. To me, you can make a legitimate argument that of the 4 most influential Dodgers in franchise history, Clayton Kershaw is one of those 4. One of 3 active pitchers with over 200 career wins. He's got more wins, by the way, than Pedro Martinez, and he's got more career strikeouts than Cy freaking Young. And what's, I think, the biggest asset and really the ultimate testament to his career is what he does when guys get on base. He doesn't allow a lot of runs once they get on base. 2.5 ERA for his career. That is the 4th best of anyone that has pitched a minimum of 1,500 innings in the live ball era. And for anyone that doesn't know how long the live ball era has lasted, it began in 1920. For you mathematicians and mathematic majors at home, that means it's been going on for 126 seasons. And the 4th lowest ERA throughout the entirety of that time frame belongs to Clayton Kershaw. It's pretty special stuff at the lefty ace. And for so long, the knock against him was his postseason resume. Now, he does struggle, 13-13 in his playoff career, an ERA of 4.5. There's nothing that is Hall of Fame worthy about that. But what is Hall of Fame worthy is how he never shirked that responsibility. He never put that onus on anyone else. He never deflected that. He never blamed anybody for that. He always took it on the chin. And what ultimately happened was he ends up winning two World Series in the latter half of his career, and it may very well be three World Series in 5 years if the Dodgers can become the first team this century to repeat. And so for me, when I look at Clayton Kershaw, someone that is as accomplished as it gets in terms of a pitching resume and career, what I think also stands out about him is how much of a family man he is. It's going to be seven, you know, pretty soon when it comes to his fifth child being born. That's coming in the next couple of months. And I just think it's very special. You know, when you talk about his Dodgers career, you look at a guy like Max Scherzer, a guy like Justin Verlander, certainly the two other pitching titans of the last 20 years. On average, those guys have put on six different uniforms throughout their career. Clayton Kershaw was drafted by the Dodgers. He made his MLB debut for the Dodgers. He will finish his career as the Los Angeles Dodger. And I think that is very special. And I thought it was very special that his last strikeout came at the expense of Rafael Devers, a star in his own right. And Dave Roberts got to take the ball from Clayton Kershaw, got to see him off the mound to a rousing standing ovation that was minutes on end. And Dave Roberts, you know, someone that has been with him for the better part of a decade, he spoke about the lefty's legacy. And it is very, very potent. Take a listen.
I think
to the
he's, you know, the greatest pitcher in this generation. You know, there's obviously been a lot of great pitchers. I've just never been around a greater competitor. Very accountable, very consistent, and you know, he's made me better. And I think that we've both grown together. So I feel fortunate to have been able to, you know, manage him and be around him for 10 years. And, you know, he's earned this right to walk away, you know, at his choosing.
You know, it's funny. There were a lot of people clamoring for Clayton Kershaw to hold on for one more season because, as we all know, you know, he's at 222 career wins. The all-time wins mark for a Dodgers pitcher in franchise history is 234 by Don Sutton. But, you know, Clayton's not thinking about being the all-time, you know, winningest Dodgers pitcher. He's thinking about what's best for his family, and you have to respect him tremendously for that. There's a lot of more chapters to write in his life, and there's even more chapters when it comes to the sport of baseball. He's still got another regular season start against Seattle, and who knows how long he can go with the Dodgers in the postseason. Hopefully, not only does he make the postseason roster, which I would be shocked if he doesn't, but he may very well be a starter for them, especially once they get to the later rounds when you're talking about having three, four starting pitchers in any given season. Clayton Kershaw was as representative of excellence and longevity and character as they come, and we absolutely give our proverbial tip of the cap to the lefty 18 years strong. Number to join us, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. How will you remember Clayton Kershaw as a Los Angeles Dodger, and what encapsulates him to you the most? We'll certainly take your calls on that on the other side. And there was also more MLB history the last 48 hours besides Clayton Kershaw's last regular season start at Dodger Stadium. We will get to that at the top of the hour. Before we do that, let's get to Alex in Miami, who's been awfully patient. Alex, always good to hear from you, man. The floor is yours.
Hey, Chef, what's going on? Very soon on the YouTube chat, you're going to hear about Glenn's 27-minute phone call, my 24-minute phone call, and Gilberto's 23-minute phone call, because we bring it to you on the Good Shepherd, we bring it to you on the Bonus Shepherd, and we bring it to you on All Shepherds, and that's the reason why.
I'm seeing my guy Two-Tone, I'm seeing Psych. I'm sorry I haven't interacted so much with the chat, guys, just because I'm so locked in on what we're doing in terms of putting out video content and making sure we get the sound and the reads and all that. But I apologize if I'm falling short in that. But it's great to see our chat up and running. And thanks for pointing that out, Alex. We are on YouTube live right now, and that's another dimension and method to getting a hold of the show.
Yes, sir. When it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs, a lot of people are ruling them out, especially Carlos Ortiz. I'm sure that he's very glad that they actually won because he wanted them to go 0-17, I'm sure.
That's a good point.
Yes, sir.
Because you know, he wants to die on that hill. He is so fixated on the Chiefs missing the playoffs just so he can be right. When you and I both know, if the worst result you've had in 7 years is being an overtime shy of a Super Bowl, you're not missing the playoffs in year eight.
No. People are counting them out way too fast. They have a great defense, and I think that Patrick Mahomes is going to keep them afloat until Xavier Worthy gets back sooner than Rashid Rice. And when they both get back, they're going to be a completely different team. And going down the last third of the season, they're going to be completely different, and they're going to get a lot of wins then and then make the playoffs. When they do make, this is just what I think, when they do make the playoffs, they're going to be a tough out like always. So for the people ruling out the Kansas City Chiefs, no, don't do that, because at the end, they might wind up biting everybody you know where.
It's well said, sir. Well said. And I love the Dikembe Mutombo reference there as well. Alex, we got a minute and a half. I want to make sure we get to all your points, sir.
I just wanted to add, since you spoke about it, that Clayton Kershaw can afford five nannies, one for each one of his for his four kids and one for his future kids.
He can afford.
He's a man of God.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And there's nothing like raising your kid yourself, and he probably wants to be there every step of the way, and that's probably why he's pulling the plug and putting his family first.
Really well said.
Before baseball.
Really well said. And Alex, he does so well for himself that he can afford nannies for his nannies.
Yes, sir. When it comes to Caleb Williams, we need to. This is only a micro sample. We got to give him a mulligan for last year, because obviously he wasn't well coached. This is the first year that he's really getting good coaching.
I agree.
And it's not fair to evaluate him on a micro sample. I think that once the season is over, we can sit down and I'll talk to you about it, and we can make an honest decision and a rational decision of to where he is.
That's fair, but we also have to be honest about the numbers and how productive he has been in a really crappy situation, by the way. And there haven't been numbers comparable to his performance as a rookie other than Jaden Daniels, the guy that just had the greatest rookie quarterback season we've ever had. Alex, we will certainly talk over the weekend. It's always a pleasure and a blast to go back and forth with you, my friend. You have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk soon.
Talk to you on Saturday.
Yes, sir. Good to hear from Alex in Miami. And that was not a 27-minute phone call, according to some people on YouTube. And I love that YouTube chat. I really do. Number to join us, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. When we get back, there wasn't just history made from a pitcher standpoint. A switch-hitting catcher made history over the weekend. He made a lot of it. It's Kyle Raleigh, a.k.a. the Big Dumper. We'll explain next. Good Shepherd in for JR. We're coming right back.